Our first scripture reading for this fourth Sunday of Easter is found in your Bibles in the book of Acts. It's from the day of Pentecost. And we read Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, and we read verses 19 through 25. This is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin. Neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. We might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find a pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on our epistle lesson for today, and also in the next chapter, a similar verse to one that I will read in just a moment. But beginning in 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 20. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure? This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. And then from the next chapter, something very similar. I begin reading at chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil, or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. This is our text. Well, it's another month of putting up with all this. And as I observe what's going on in our nation and sometimes amongst just the people that I know, there's been a little bit of a shift in how people are thinking about this virus thing. When it first hit, it was sort of like, you know, we're all afraid we're going to die. You know, a lot of people aren't thinking that way anymore. There's been a shift in attitude. I'm afraid I'm going to have to go on living like this. And I'm not sure I really want to do that. Fear has given way to anger and testiness. And you can see it in the national news, and you can see it sitting outside Hy-Vee in a car waiting for your wife to come sit down with you for lunch. The other day we were watching somebody just walking into Hy-Vee. And about 3 minutes later, they're walking out of Hy-Vee and they have nothing in their hands. They entered with nothing, they came out with nothing. But there was a little difference between the former event and the latter. It was the image on their face. They were mad. You could just see it in their face, in the gait of their step. I don't know what they went into Hy-Vee to buy, maybe toilet paper or something like that. And you could just tell they were out of it again. They were mad. And I get stories as my wife comes home from work on a regular basis regarding the people that have come in and asked if a certain product is available. And she tells them no. And sometimes they tell her what a horrible store she has, and what rotten workers they have, and all manner of other reviling anger. As if it's her fault. As if Hy-Vee isn't trying to get whatever it is they're trying to get this week. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. For this is a gracious thing when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. It's easy for us to become frustrated in this particular time period. And it's easy for us to vent our anger, but maybe not at the ones whose fault it really is. But we as Christians have been called to conduct ourselves differently in this world than the rest. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. And later on, again, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. There is something to be gained in being different from the world and in being more like Christ, who, when he came into this world, he did so for the express purpose of suffering unjustly, for the express purpose of being mocked, persecuted, nailed to a cross, and dying. Not because he had done wrong, but precisely because he saw something to be gained in all that he did for you and I. And what is it that he gained? Our hearts and our lives, which is something that is precious and valuable to our God. He didn't have to make this world, but there is something about the essence of God that drove him to do it. It's contained in those simple words, for instance, from the first epistle of John. God is love. And in that well-known verse from John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The essence of God, the thing that drives him to do that which he does, is always and forever love. And love craves love. And so he made the world, even when he knew what it was going to cost him. And Christ came into this world knowing what he was going to sacrifice, because God knew what he was going to also gain. Now, it certainly wasn't the respect and the love of the whole world. But for God, if it was just a few, that was enough. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. You and I have been called to be like Christ, that good shepherd, who in John chapter 10 also tells us that he lays down his life for the sheep. That good shepherd whose steps ultimately lead to the cross, because he values so much changing the hearts of the world. And my friend, hearts are not changed, at least for the better, by anger, by hatred, by acting frustrated, by venting your anger. They're changed by blessing, even when you've been cursed, by being willing to suffer unjustly and to keep on giving. That's not the way of the world. And you can see it, the ways of the world at work, on the evening news, and even just watching people going in and out of Hy-Vee. We are frustrated as a people in this day and age. But instead of seeing it just as a burden to bear, what we need to see it as is an opportunity to show people what Christ is like, to show sympathy, brotherly love, to have a tender heart and a humble mind, even when people are yelling and screaming about you. And when we do that, at some point in time, someone's going to take notice. And they're going to wonder why you're being so nice when everybody else is being so rotten. And when they ask that question, you have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ. Not cramming it down their throats, not getting up on a soapbox and screaming it to the world, but simply answering the questions that they're asking. Questions may possible by the situation we find ourselves in. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure? This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. It's a gracious thing because it's an opportunity for you to reveal the grace of God to others. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. Beloved in Christ, in this frustrating period of life, let us follow in the steps of Christ, that in doing so, we might gain an opportunity to bear witness to the love that he has had for the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.